All right, we'll take just about two or three more minutes to look at grace and justice. He has filled the hungry with good things, that's grace, but has sent the rich away empty. Here she's focusing on the song, in her song on, although she didn't spell this out in detail, referring to the rich who are very, very satisfied that they have what they have. They're very satisfied with their lot in life and do nothing to help the poor, the oppressed, the needy, or worse, they make it their business to try to trample down the poor, the oppressed, the needy. He has sent the rich away empty, justice. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. And again, merciful and grace tying in together. Grace there to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. We will look some more at grace and justice at a later date, but I wanted to give you an idea. I wanted to get an idea of how God handles people in general, and of course his people as well. And one of the things you'll find is that he really does not show partiality. He does an outstanding job of being very, very fair in his handling of people. Well, how many of you really enjoy giving, contributing to the Christian cause? You enjoy bringing tithes to your place of worship. You enjoy giving offerings. Well, there is a study, you could say, that the Bonner Group did with regards to generosity. Let's find out what they looked into, get a feel for what they found as they looked into generosity and what they're calling the generosity gap.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the Generosity Gap, where we look at the strength gap. Brooke?
This section of our look at the generosity study explores how does one build up strong habits of giving? How do we strengthen those muscles of generosity? What are some patterns of giving and volunteering, especially when we look at churches? And how can good habits be established? First, we wondered if Christians believe that giving and volunteering were interchangeable. In other words, if they were volunteering of their time, was it necessary for them to be giving financially as well? Pastors disagree with this premise. Almost no pastors would say that giving and volunteering are interchangeable. Two-thirds would strongly disagree with this premise. But about half of all Christians would say that actually it's okay for someone who is volunteering to not give financially, that they are interchangeable. This revealed a bit of a gap, big gap perhaps, between pastors and Christians on what their expectations were around giving. So we wondered if that behavior played out by looking at when was the last time someone volunteered, by how much they gave in the last year. In this chart, you can see, for example, that those who gave $2,500 or more in the past year were actually the most likely to have volunteered in the past week or past month. Fully half of those most generous Christians had actually volunteered in the past week, and more than two-thirds had volunteered in the past month or more often. So those who are more generous with their money are also more generous with their time. This follows the path all the way down the different levels of giving, with the exception being in the group that gives the least, those who give less than $50 a year were slightly more likely to have volunteered in the past month, indicating that they do see interchangeability between their time and their giving financially, perhaps because they're cash-strapped or financially strained. So what do pastors think of this? We asked pastors if they felt that all Christians should give to their church. And in fact, 9 out of 10 would strongly agree with this premise. But again, there's a gap. And that only about half of Christians strongly or somewhat agree that all Christians should give to their church. So, many of them might be considering giving to nonprofits as an important act of generosity, but not feeling compelled to give to their church. That suggests a gap not only in expectations, but potentially a gap in budget for a lot of churches. This may be an area that churches need to address in their teaching and discipleship. But how do they strengthen Christians' giving muscles? Where does generous thinking and living come from? Well, our team looked at a lot of different factors and analyzed which ones had the most impact on whether or not someone became generous. You can see from this chart, the strongest correlation we saw with different factors of generosity were one's parents. If they were raised in a generous household, they were more likely to value generosity today.
I gotta ask, ladies and gentlemen, how about you? Those of you who give and you give consistently, were you influenced, motivated, inspired by your parents? Did your parents give? Now, something that I'd like to ask you about that as well, because I know that even when our parents are giving, not all parents are able to give a lot because not all parents have a lot to give. So I'm curious as to whether, you know, if you are giving a lot, were you inspired to give a lot? And when I say a lot, maybe instead of giving just the 10% of your income, maybe you give 12% or 15% of your income. Maybe you give 10% of your income as tithes, but you also regularly give offerings over and above the actual 10% of the tithes, 10% of tithes, and you don't give a specific percentage of your income on a regular basis as it pertains to the offering. It's just, well, hey, you know what? I really like this particular mission or outreach ministry of the church. They're taking up something for that today. I want to give something into that ministry. And you give whatever you give. Maybe 2 Sundays later, you hear an announcement about another outreach ministry or inreach ministry, and funding is needed, and you like what you hear. Hey, you know what? I'm going to give, and you give more offering again. You've taken care of your tithes, but you like this idea, and whether it's $50 or $500, $10, you say, I want to give this over and above my tithes. Was that kind of giving inspired by your parents? And another way for me to word this is to ask you, do you give what you give regardless of how much your parents were able to give? Or do you give based largely on how your parents were able to give? If they were only able to give that 10%, all you give is the 10%. Even if you're able to frequently or on occasion, occasionally give offering as well. How closely related is your thought process when it comes to giving, particularly to the church, compared to your parents' thought process when it came to giving to the church? And they point out that the number one motivating factor for those who gave faithfully was their parents' giving. All right. More for this Sunday in just a few.